Okay, we're continuing in the Shaar Tshuva. We're in the middle of Sif Yud Aleph, the second principle of Aziva Sachet, leaving the sin. Yesterday we discussed what has to come first, leaving the sin or regret. And we're on the bottom paragraph on page 16. Before I get there, I wanted to mention a little piece from Reb Aaron Cutler of blessed memory in his Sefer Mishnas Rebbe Aaron, where he talks about a concept that we'll get to maybe later. I'm afraid we might not get there later, but I wanted to bring it up. Next week we're starting to say Slichos, and the Sfardim already are saying Slichos. And just to focus on one part of the Slichas and see how it relates to Charata and Aziva Sachet, this whole concept. So, in Slichas we come and we start to say Hashem, lo b'chesed v'lo b'masim banul fanecha. We don't come to you with our kindness and our good deeds. Kedalim u'charashim defakim t'lasecha. We knock on your doors like impoverished people. And we ask from Hashem Slicha, forgiveness, not because of our merits, but really through the force of the 13 attributes of God's mercy. And there's really two parts to the Slichos. One part is we ask God to have mercy upon us, which is based on the 13 attributes of mercy. That we know there's a covenant that if you perform them, they don't come back empty-handed. And together, if they're combined with our heartfelt supplications. And the second part of Slichos is the vidui, is the confession. So, when we will learn vidui, we'll find out that the concept of vidui really is the gmar hatshuva, is the conclusion of the tshuva process. It's not the beginning of the tshuva process, it's the end of the tshuva process. After you've left the sin, after the regret, after the acceptance into the future, as we'll see shortly, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to mention, and might as well read the next couple lines. Rabbeinu Yonah discusses this idea that you've got, if you've been sinning regularly, you have to first leave the sin before the regret. And he says, v'hamoshel b'zeh, and the analogy is to somebody who has not left the sin, but he's regretting. L'misha oches ha'sheretz u'balit b'litoher. There's a concept that if a person has touched a dead rodent, an unclean creature, in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, we would go to the mikvah. Because you're impure. So let's say the fellow would touched a unclean creature, and as he's going to the mikvah, he's still holding on to the unclean creature. He wants to go into the mikvah, he wants to purify himself, but he's holding on to the creature. Ki yaniach hasheretz tchila v'achrin yitko v'yidhor. So you'd have to let go of the unclean creature, and then go into the mikvah, become pure. As long as the unclean creature's in his hand, the tum is still upon him. And going to the mikvah won't help. So leaving the sinful thoughts and totally leaving that whole area, that's like throwing away the sheretz. It's like throwing away the creature. And the sincere regret for what he's done and the verbal confession and prayer, that constitutes going to the mikvah, as it were. So you've got to cast away the sin. You've got to get rid of the creature. So Rabbeinu Yonah is doing it in the context. If you're really into an Avera, as we said yesterday, you're really solidly into the Avera, you've got to leave that Avera. If you don't leave that Avera, the creature's You're still holding on to the tumah. So what's it going to help the other things? What's going to help the regret? What's going to help the vid and everything else? So in that context, let's go back to Rabbi Aaron, what he has to say here. So Aaron says that vidui, as you've seen written here, partially, is part of the end process of tshuva. And he quotes a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva that says, how does one confess? And the Rambam says, Hashem, I have sinned, I have done such and such, I have regretted it, I have been ashamed of my actions, and I always will never come back to it again. And then that is the confession. So included in the confession is the regret and the shame that one feels. And it's all sourced in the Jerusalem Talmud. And many, many other authors have said this. And therefore it appears that vidui, confession, comes after the regret, comes after the a true acceptance of the future. Because of course, and one who says lies, it's not going to be good before Hashem. And the Rambam in another place in Hilchos Tshuva says that a person who confesses with words but doesn't really sincerely mean it in his heart to leave this. So this is where the Rambam, really remember, Rabbeinu Yonah comes after the Rambam, but it's similar. He says the guy who confesses, but he really didn't mean it in his heart to leave the sin, that's like the guy who goes to the mikvah with the sheretz in his hand. That going won't help. And that's based on a Gemara in Tainus. So what do we see? We see clearly that you have to leave the sin before you say the confession. Right? Because he's comparing the Rambam specifically is comparing vidui to the going to the mikvah. Ben Yonah said that the vidui and the prayer and the charata, but he certainly included vidui within that. You've got to leave the sin. What vidui is not, here's the mist, vidui is not, okay, I confess I did this sin. That's not enough. Vidui is towards the end. It's towards the end of the process. I've confessed, I'm ashamed, I'm so embarrassed, I feel terrible, I'm really not going to do it again. It's not, you know, the first time, first second you thought about the avera that you said you're not going to really do it again. Not really going to do it again. You got to really know that you're not going to really do it again. Kabbalah haba is, it has to be really meant. How can you mean it? You did the avera, you thought about it for 30 seconds, so you're not going to do it again. It can't be very heartfelt. Yeah. How do you know you're not going to do it again? What do you mean? I said I won't do it again. That means zero. I mean, it's absolutely zero. Because what steps have you taken to ensure that you will never do that again? Well, I didn't take any, but I really don't want to do it again. That's worth zero. Because you're going to do it again. Why are you not going to do it again? Okay, I'm not going to do it again. You know, I've learned through the halachas, and I realize how terrible it was. I didn't realize how terrible it was. And I've gone through a whole steps of showing, and we'll see there's so many more steps. Okay, we see you've taken all these steps and you really, you know, have tried and put a lot of time into this. So then, you know, we hope that you're being honest with yourself and, you really regret it and you will, what you say. So then that vidui, those words you're saying are worth a lot. And, and certainly Rabbeinu Yonah later on, in Os Mem Hey is going to say that you've got to repair the damage before vidui. So it's all building up to a very simple question, and I'll read you the one line of the question inside. Ulefi in the sefer from Rabbi Aaron. Ulefi zet tzarich lavo havidui achare esek rav binyan etshuva. So vidui can only come after a lot of time and effort and engagement in tshuva. V'tzarech tam al shanachnu makdimim b'amirasa lifnei shishchalnu b'esek tshuva. So the question is, why do we begin saying tshuva, saying vidui by slichas before we've begun the real esek of tshuva? We open up, we start Slichas for a Sfardi that's starting on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is way early. And even for us, we're starting a week before Hashanah. But the more obvious question is, only on Rosh Hashanah do you start the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of Teshuvah begin. And that's when people really are getting going into the process. So what's this business? You're saying Vidui's by Slichas. What is that? It's a forgery. It's a falseness. Everybody's saying you can't do that. And that's what we all do. So yeah, maybe, you could have answered, he doesn't say this, maybe you could have answered, well, if we really did tshuva properly, a real proper tshuva starts on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and you've already been doing tshuva for 3 weeks already, and that's the proper way to really come to Slichas. But unfortunately most people have been on vacation, during most of the parts of the last 3 weeks. Before Slichas. But if you're really, the way it used to be in Europe, in Litha, in these places, Rosh Chodesh Elul came, people already, they knew it was Rosh Chodesh Elul. There was no vacations in those days. And if they did, they did it before. So that for 3 weeks, they've been working on themselves. So you could say that the Vidui is already there. But he doesn't say that answer. And I don't think I'd be judging people unfavorably by assuming that most people have not, done serious tshuva yet. And thousands of people around the world are saying slichas, and they probably have not begun the tshuva process, or maybe begun, but certainly not finished the tshuva process. So that's a very strong question. It's a very strong question. Next Sunday, we're gonna start saying vidui. And, how many people have really done the whole tshuva process. Most of them don't even know the 20 steps. How could they have even done it? So he says a very interesting answer. He says, and I'll read another line. He says, "Acha inyan hu," but the concept is kizulas chovas havidu shuhag marshal a tshuva. Besides the fact for the obligation of confession, vidu, which is at the end of the tshuva process, hariyesh be'etzem amiraso his oirus lashuv. Vidui, saying of vidui, has another component altogether beyond and different than what the primary component of vidui is. And that is, the saying of the vidui can become a beginning step where it arouses you to start to do tshuva. It's not the primary reason for it, but it could be a tool as well. And he explains why. He brings a source from Proverbs, where King Solomon says that everybody's pathways always seem clear in their eyes. In other words, everybody thinks they're always doing the right thing. Everybody always is biased to think they're doing the right thing. And if anybody would try to improve oneself and self-criticize oneself, it's not going to be very deep. And most people don't think they're doing too many things wrong. Unless you're able to get out of your normal routine. Now, that's why, maybe you do a retreat and you get away and you can look a little bit more objectively upon yourself. But generally speaking, people aren't that good at picking themselves apart. They're very good at picking other people apart. Amazingly how good we are. We're so talented to do that. We have that talent. But someone comes to ourselves, all of a sudden the talent isn't there. So there, this was Rabbi Aaron is saying, and therefore the rabbis established this form of slichos to say all these viduis, to remind us and to reflect on the fact that we are so enrooted in sin, and we can't fool ourselves, and we're not saying this ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu, all that. We're not saying that out of humility, but to realize, as we know, the ashamnu goes from starts letter aleph till the end titanu, to letter sof. And the real thing we should be thinking about when we're saying the vidui is to remind ourselves that we're so full of sin from aleph to tof, from the beginning of the alphabet to the end of the alphabet. There isn't anything we haven't done wrong. That's what the Vidui is saying. And that should arouse a person. Because we know the famous story with Rabbi Eliezer ben Durdaya. The person was an extremely immoral person. And he, there wasn't one woman of the night that he hadn't been to. And the famous story, how he made great efforts to go to the most famous woman like this, and he crosses the seven seas, and he makes all these efforts, and that's at risk of life. You know, you read, he says he crosses the seas, it makes him like, you know, he took a streetcar down the road. I mean, you take going to the sea, you're risking your life. So he risked his life to be with another woman. And when he finally finishes business with her, you know, a wind passed by, and she said, just like the wind passes and doesn't return, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Durdaya will never be able to do tshuva. Okay. And for some reason that hit him like a ton of bricks, and he began the tshuva process. And he died about tshuva. So the question is, so what inspired it? I mean, so the answer is, if you got to hear from such a source that you're never going to do tshuva, you must have hit rock bottom. And people are more open to doing tshuva when they realize they've hit rock bottom. And that's the same thing again with anybody who has an addiction. Anyone has an addiction, we know, by and large, the beginning of the process of help can only be after they've hit rock bottom. After they lost their job, after they're divorced, after they're not healthy, and after they get a heart attack, a face, and then they realize they have nothing, then they realize they got to change. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So that's what Rabbi Aaron is saying over here. He says the optimal way to inspire a person to do tshuva is for them to realize that they've hit rock bottom. So part of that is, although we all haven't hit rock bottom, but if you go through the vidui, and it's not just one little thing. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. From Aleph to Tav. You know, we have, and the Al-Khaytz, no, that's a little bit later on, but we've gone all the way through. So in terms of arousal and to get that first step of Charata, so that is a very powerful tool. That's a very powerful tool. And as we know, the famous question that was asked to the Rambam, person asked the Rambam, he says, I've gone through, I'm preparing for the high holidays, and I've gone through all the Al-Khaytz, and I see that, and I've really looked at myself, this was not a regular person, so I've looked at myself, and I see that I really haven't done any of those Averis this year. So my shaila to you is, should I say the vidui with everybody? Because Hashem doesn't like people who lie. So Rambam wrote back, and he said, if you understood the depths of every mitzvah and every aver in the Torah, you will realize that not only have you not done every avera, you've done every one 1,000 times over. And I'll tell you what, he says, and for the fact that you wrote me this question, you should hit yourself one more time for asking the question. So obviously, you know, there's what to improve on. What to improve on. So one second. So when we realize that we really have done a lot of bad things, if you really would stop and think and sit through everything, you know, how many of us, when you've said Hashem's name, have you really been in awe when you said the name? Which really, you have to. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem, have you really just said it slowly and really thought what you're saying? I just said, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, and how many thousands of times have we done that? Right? And that's all part of, you know, in a broader sense of, you know, almost saying Hashem's name in vain and not giving Hashem's name any respect. You know, how many times have we not asked Shilas when we're supposed to ask Shilas? You know, you start going through the list. How much time have we wasted from learning Torah for silly excuses? You know, of course, at the time, they're very justified. After all, it was my 2-year-old birthday party, so I couldn't go to learn this night. And that ain't going to hold up water in God's court. and you know it isn't. And how many silly excuses, and how many hours we waste at weddings. Hours, not minutes, hours. You know, let people have weddings and enjoy them, but that's not a reason for you to waste time from learning Torah. Now, you just start going through the list, you realize you're in big trouble. If you really go through the list, you're really in big trouble. So you don't do this all the time, but we're coming before, a week before Rosh Hashanah, if not now, when? So you say, from Aleph through Tav, Lashon Hara, all these things, we don't even know half the halachas of Lashon Hara to know how much Lashon Hara we've been speaking. So we've gone through Aleph through Tav. And that's what he says. He says, the truth is, mitzad ha-vidui, in terms of the vidui, harehu ikara tshuva, it's a primary part of tshuva. And really the mitzvah saseh of tshuva, the way it's written in the Torah, it says vizvadu alavonam. You have to confess on your sin, but that's, you know, that's a whole discussion. Do you have to, when you're saying the vidu, do you have to spell out every one of the sins? When the person did it, went to the Beis HaMikdash and he did vidui on the animal, right? So that you have to list all the sins or not, but certainly in our vidu, what do we say? If you think about the Oshamnu part, Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, anything specific there? We have Oshamnu, we've gone against Hashem willfully, Bogadnu, we've rebelled, Gozalnu, we stole. You know, all those things, they are kind of, you know, general things. So it's not even a real vidui. I mean, a real vidui is, I did this act. I went and said to so-and-so, he's an idiot. That's vidui. That's a real vidui. So what kind of vidui is this? This isn't even a vidui. It's such a general thing. But the fact of the matter is, it will help for that initial hisarus, for that initial arousal to know that I've gone through all the letters of the alphabet, and basically from Aleph to Tav, I'm completely guilty. When a person realizes he's completely guilty, he can't fool himself. And that's what he brings now from Rabbeinu Yonah earlier that we've done already in the second, in this second Iker. And that's what he's saying, the exact same words. He's bringing these words. Only after you've stopped can you then really say that you've regretted. So he concludes, says, so in order to be able to leave the sin, you have to take it to heart to want to come back to Hashem. There's got to be some feeling in order to leave the sin. Therefore, it's so important for us to come to the cognition that our spiritual level is so low in light of what the Torah expects of us. This is the concept of the vidui. Is to inspire us for charata. Is to inspire us to leave the sin. And once you got that, remember we said there's two parts to the slichus. The first part, what was the first part? We say we come to you as poor people, we knock on the doors, we're asking mercy and this and that, and the vidui. So now if you've got this vidui that's really saying, I'm basically through and through, I'm filled with sin, so then you're able to come and supplicate before God, and supplications need a lot of humility. Because that's the foundation of prayer. It's got to be a lot of humility, a broken spirit. So to feel that we really are going to God as impoverished people, so therefore this vidui is ideal for that point. That vidui is saying, you know, from Aleph to Tav I've sinned, and I'm really not doing well, and that should itself bring you to a degree of subjugation before Hashem. And understand, you need a lot of mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think, you know, and that is the key to slichus. Slichus is coming, you know, like a beggar to the door. If you want to have a little idea what it feels like, go try to fundraise. That'll give you a little bit of a feeling what it's like. You go to a wealthy person and you ask him for money. And why should he give you anything? You're not his cousin. What else you want because you don't have? So get a job, man. You know, give me some of your money. You know, if it's for your personal thing, if it's for a shul, whatever, for an organization, you know, what reason do I have to give you? So you've got to try to give a reason. And that, the bottom line is you're snoring. However you slice it, you're snoring. And the guy has no obligation to give you anything. Yeah, the Torah says, you know, you come and you need, you know, these people come from Eretz Yisrael, they need, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. You know, and so what are you giving him? $18. As if that is even, you know, help. But he's got to go. You go to, you know, 10,000 people. 10,000 people, then whatever. Then you'll get enough money for this. You have to go to all these people, and the last thing they want to do is give you the money. They're not homeless and that, right? Go start snoring. Nobody, that, why do you think nobody in the shul wants to fundraise? You know why? Because it's the most humiliating thing that you have to do. You know, nobody wants to do it. You know, people will volunteer for a lot of things, but not the fundraise. Not the fundraise. It is so humiliating, and you have to call, and you have to beg. And can I at least get an appointment with you? And then you get an appointment, and you speak to them for some time, and then they get back and say, you know, I'm really not into your project. Or, you know what, I'm really sorry I can't help you, but you know they can help if they want to. Yeah, so now if you want, not just try, it wouldn't be a bad exercise to try it, because then you have a little idea of what it is you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have an idea what Slichas is. You're coming to Hashem to ask Him for another year, and by what right do you have? Give me another year of life so I can hurt more people. Because I've hurt enough people this year. Right? Whenever there's an opportunity, I usually seem to rise up to the occasion to hurt people. You know, so I can make more brachas in vain, so I could not go to Minyan for silly excuses. You know, go through the list and say, okay, now Hashem, give me another year. And you realize, I have no right, you know what, I should have been dead long ago. And it's the emes. It's the emes. So then you could say, Taka, Mamish, Hashem, I throw myself before you to your infinite mercy that you have before me. And if you understand that, then if you really understood that, then maybe you'd say, you know what? It's about time I really changed. But, you know, everybody goes to sleep. First of all, how many people go to Slichus? You know, how many people even go to Slichus at the ungodly hour of 6:15 in the morning? You know, you can understand why the best time to say Slichus is right after Chatzos. The best time to say Slichus is after Chatzos. That means you're saying Slichus at about 1:30 in the morning. And that's with the intention to be at davening the next morning, right? 1:30 in the morning, you know who goes out at 1:30 in the morning? Somebody who has a child who's dying and they need assistance and they're not embarrassed. You know, they have to knock on the door at 1:30 in the morning at an inconvenient hour, because you know what? Because God says, that's when I'm open. No, if you're a fundraiser, you know, you don't tell the guy when you want the appointment. I remember one time Rabbi Gifter, Zatzal, had to meet a wealthy person in Cleveland, and he said, you want to see me? 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning? I'm out by 5:30 to do my job. You want to see me? Five. So, it was even, you know, it was a little bit, you know, early for the, because Rashi saw how to travel to him. It wasn't like he was next door. You want to go, so you find out when the wealthy people are available to give you their precious time. So, you know, you have to be inconvenienced. It's not like, well, you know, I need a lot of money for you. I'm free at 8 o'clock. So I'll come to your place at 8 o'clock. You make yourself available for me to collect from you. It doesn't work that way. Whenever he's available. And we know, when does Hashem have his rachamim? After Chatzos. After Chatzos Laila, that's when he's in a good mood, as it were, receptive. So you know, if you don't think you've done much wrong, I ain't getting up at one. I'm not dumbing at 1:30. I'll come when it's good for me. You know, it's very few places, really. You know, so 1:30. You know, every year in the winter, you know. You're able to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, going, you know, having parties and this and that, you know, but not for this, I ain't gonna do it, right? So you find a minyan that starts at 12 o'clock that is totally not according to halacha. It's totally not according to halacha, but it's a convenient one, because it's gotta be to my convenience. right? Okay, so, okay, second best is right before daybreak. You know, so that would still be about, 6 o'clock. So I knew if we would do this at 6 o'clock or 1:30, no one's showing up. And if they are, they ain't coming to davening the next morning, and that's even worse. So it's better they should at least come to davening the next morning. It's like this whole mindset, we don't get it. You don't get it. And you're saying all these slichas, you don't know what the words mean. You know. But the fact is, because most of us don't feel this impoverished. We think we're quite wealthy spiritually. And Rabbi Yon is not talking, you know, the Chazal, when they made slichas, you know, they weren't talking, you know, to people who are Rishayim, because Rishayim don't come to slichas, if you noticed. You know, secular Jews aren't coming, and even, you know, and most members in our shul don't go to slichas. Yes, okay, women aren't chayiv to go to slichas, so you can take it easy, ladies. You're not chayiv to go to slichas. Men are chayiv, I mean, chayiv. No, is a poor person chayiv to go to the rich man to ask for money? Is it an obligation? The guy needs $200,000 to do an operation on his kid. He hasn't got the money. So you're not obliged. Well, you're going to watch your kid die? It's the opportunity. We don't see it as an opportunity. We see it as one thing. Pain in the neck. Messed up my whole week before Rosh Hashanah. You gotta remember, most people don't come to this class at 6 o'clock, so they're not used to getting up early. So it means they're gonna have to go to bed early. It's just, you know, and people coming late to sleep, because you have, you know, a certain chevra that they make sure to come for the last 5 minutes, so you get to Shema Kaleinu, you feel you were with everybody else. You know, but you know, at 6:15 or whatever, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, you usually don't have a minion at the beginning. And hopefully, yeah, the first 5 minutes we're just saying a lot of pages anyway. We didn't come to the first Hashem, Hashem yet anyway. I'm just saying, it's unfortunate. You know, the Jewish people, they're wonderful, but they're just very ignorant, and we have to educate them. It's to realize, I'm coming to Hashem, I'm not even ready to do vidui. I'm so far, maybe we can start the process. So these things should arouse you. It's like, generally speaking, you know, you get up and it's, and in, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, probably it's a bit nippy in the morning when you're going to say slichas, and you're feeling that little bite when you come out, and it's time to make some changes, and you talk and go through the slichas, and you realize, I'm not even ready to finish the process. Really, I've done so many averes. Ay Hashem, I'm mamish, I'm an oni, I'm a rosh. Hashem, I have nothing but your rachmanis to save me. Then that's a proper slichas. That's a proper slichas. So that's, and that's what we're talking about here. We don't want to, so in order to not go into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with the sheret still in our hand, where the whole process won't be working, so we've got to arouse ourselves to have a real kind of charata, a real kind of aziva sachet. So if we recognize things are so bad, then perhaps that's going to happen. Okay, you're patient, thank you. But I had to get all that in. I think it was important.
The litany, the extensive eatery, can anyone be comfortable that they're not holding a rodent in their hand? I mean, no one's going to be perfect after Yom Kippur. They're going to return to some aspect of these sins. So how can one say that if they're not, you know, taken away from all that, then they can't come back?
So, you're asking, Paul, if a person, you know, at the end of the process, even if it's coming to, at Ne'ilat Yom Kippur, you realize you really haven't done tshuva on all this.
So you're
still holding the rodent. So the answer is it's a problem. A, B, remember what Rabbeinu Yonah said, every little bit of tshuva helps. So you took away a little bit of the rodent. You took a couple rodents off, but there's still a lot of other rodents around. But the truth of the matter is, that's a correct perspective. So, you know, it's helped a little bit, but really hasn't helped that much. But, you know, on the other hand, you could view it like this, you know, people, like the LJ gave, I remember one, you know, this goes back to the whole issue, you know, with the whole idea, tshuva, does it really mean you're never going to do it again, this and that. So I once gave the analogy, the person who's trying to lose weight, that person's overweight. They're overweight. And they got to lose, face, I don't know, 50 pounds, six, I mean, really overweight. So what does the person say? He says, I'm going to go on a diet. And he goes through the process of dieting, you know, and he's suffering. And he loses 20 pounds. Okay, he's still overweight and flabby. So was it worthless what he did? I'm sure, you know, maybe one hernia less. You know, maybe the heart attack will come 2 years later. You know, he can now fit through the closet door. I mean, okay, is he fit? He's not fit. He's fitter. And the fact is every year he loses 20 pounds because in the rest of the year he's gained 30 pounds. So can you imagine if he would never have lost those 20 pounds? He'd weigh 900 pounds now. So certainly that helps. A, B, it shows that the person is trying. And in Hashem's eyes, that's worth something. So Hashem says, okay, he's trying. I'll have a little more rachmanis. I'll give him another, cut him another year of slack. But at the end of the day, it's not that great. You know, it helps. It certainly, listen, the fact that we have this Yom Kippur and we stop and we think, you know, it's like we're, it's like an analogy that a person is going down an abyss and it's going down. At least if you stop, take a few steps back, slows down the pace, and it'll stop you from doing other. I mean, if we didn't have a bechlal, we'd go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, ever not coming out at all. So at least we understand, you know, this was bad. So we've done a little stop, a break in the slide. Maybe we've climbed up a little bit. Maybe we've slowed it down. Maybe we've turned the direction a little bit. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And Nebuch, it's a terrible struggle. But either way, you know, there's always going to be what to do tshuva for. Even if you've done an amazing, let's say the better yet. Let's say you've done an amazing tshuva this year. Really, a good tshuva this year. Really, really, really good. So what do you think is going to happen after, you know, shortly after Yom Kippur? What do you think is going to happen? And let's say the same things come back and you don't do the Aveira. So what do you think? Hashem's going to take a year off? The Yetzer is going to take a year off? They're going to come up with a brand new thing you're not experienced in dealing new with model. For you to fall in that one. You know, what's this? You know, it's interesting. What does the Torah want? You know, Yom Kippur is for everybody. Yom Kippur is even for the tzaddik. So the tzaddik doesn't sin. The tzaddik has to sin. Hashem will make sure that he sins. So they'll have what the next Yom Kippur to work on. This is all. It's, you know, it's part of the growth as well. And on the positive end, you know, you're trying to climb a mountain. Let's look at it the other way. Trying to scale a mountain. I mean, the end, you know, let's say you start life over here. We're supposed to end up over here. So there's two aspects, you know. We do have Averus, it certainly brings us down. Okay? But there's also people who just haven't gone forward. So we have to keep going forward. And the Yetzer will stop us from going forward. And for that, we have to do tshuva also. If you have opportunities to grow and you don't grow, then what do we say at the end in the Ela? We say to Hashem at the end of the day, after all is said and done, we said, Hashem, you should help us that we shouldn't be ganovim. We shouldn't be thieves. So he says, is that the very we should be worrying about? So one of the great tzaddikim say, yeah. Because when God gives you so much talent, and you're taking that talent and you're not using it for what he meant to give it for, you're a ganav. If he gave you such a bright mind and you're using it to follow the stock market and you're using it to know how to do Sudoku puzzles, and Hashem can point to any page in the Shas and you don't know what's going on, and Hashem's saying, so what are you stealing the brains I gave you for? So there was an idea to go up also. And you need, so there's always going to be the need to do tshuva. I mean, let's face it. No matter how good you are, we have to do tshuva because we have to keep growing. So it's part of the growth process. But you're right, Paul. If a person goes through the whole high holiday period and nothing's happened, so it's not good. It's just not good. And that was going on before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. When they threw the goat off the mountain, had the red thread, so the hope was that when it got to the bottom of the mountain, the thread turned white to show that the Averis were forgiven, the people have changed. But as it came to the end of that period, the goat thread was red. That means that we're told you haven't accomplished that much this year. So that's part of the process. So, you know, this should inspire us to realize that, you know, if a person is really honest, you know, I can easily give us all a list of questions to ask yourselves, and you'll see that, you know, we're failing miserably. You know, even the 10 questions on the final exam that we've discussed. I mean, we're really, you know, I don't know, Hashem should spare us, how many of us would pass that exam. You know, treat your friend royally. Treat your friend royally. It doesn't mean don't hurt them. Treat everybody royally. Treat everybody like a king. You know what it means? That means if a big Rosh Yeshiva would come in and we knew he was important, we would treat him royally. So now pick any nobody that way. Yeah, treating somebody royally. Can you give me a ride? Oh, I'm not going your way. Finished. Okay, we're not saying you hurt the person. Chas v'shal. Did you treat him royally? Didn't treat him royally. Right? So finish. Zero on that one. You know, was Yiras Hashem your otzer? Was your storehouse Yiras Hashem? Zero. Yeah. You know, did you have set times for studying Torah? You know, most people, zero. You know, go through the list. It's bad news. You know, it's simple reality checks. Simple reality checks. For everyone, me included. Me included. You think you could point, if you pointed your finger to any a place in Shas I haven't looked at it years, I won't know Pshat there until I look at it for a while. When I should know Pshat and everything. I know how to learn. So we all have to, okay. So what does Hashem want? So what are you going to do to make it better? What are you going to make it better? Okay, we will continue tomorrow on that happy note. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Should have said this before Slichas.